Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and it is a privilege, as always, to be in studio. Today is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are live in studio today, and when I say we, I'm in studio with Dr. Larry Johnston. He is a friend and a colleague, has been a friend and a colleague for many, many years. I think we've known each other for over 35 years. You probably have the exact number of years, but I don't even want to say.
Getting perilously close to 40.
He's getting perilously close to 40. But anyway, today is a day that I want to spend some time talking to Dr. Larry Johnson, who is the Chief Advancement Officer at the Christian Research Institute. But before I get to that, I was doing a podcast this afternoon. I started the podcast at 3 o'clock. I was having a conversation with Dr. Jonathan Wells. He just wrote a new book called Zombie Science. It's going to be a feature for this ministry in January. It's one of the most incredible books I've ever read. I thought some of his other books, on junk DNA and the icons of evolution, were great. Zombie Science, it's a whole other level. Anyway, we'll be talking about that later on. But I was doing a podcast with him. We not only do a broadcast, we do the podcast. It's called Hank Unplugged. If you haven't tuned in to the podcast, you can check them out on the web at equip.org. But when I got done with the podcast, I got a call from Ligonier Ministries. So this is the teaching fellowship, of course, of R.C. Sproul. And when I got that call, my heart sank, because I kind of knew what the call was all about. And R.C. had just gone home to be with the Lord. Kind of interesting when you talk about R.C. Sproul, really all you have to say is R.C. Famous people, you know them by their first name, Arnie, Jack, as in Jack Nicklaus, Tiger, as in Tiger Woods, Michael, as in Michael Jordan. With R.C., you didn't even have to know the first name. All you had to know is the initials, R.C., and he was known around the world. And from my perspective, a lot of people are going to be talking about R.C. as a great theologian, as a fantastic husband, as an incredible teacher. And he is all of those things. But in my opinion, the word that immediately comes to mind is authentic. I often talked about R.C. as being the absolute real deal. What I mean by that is, with R.C., what you see is what you get. And I've known R.C. as long as I've known you, Larry, and in the early days of my ministry, when I was just starting out, so in the early 80s, I used to go to Ligonier. He used to be up in Pennsylvania, and I'd stay in one of the little cabins, and we'd talk theology. And so he was someone that had a profound influence on me in those early days. But he'd come knock at the door of one of the cabins I was staying in early in the morning, sun just coming up, and we'd play golf all day, and then we'd go into his driveway, and we'd shoot baskets. And then we go into his basement, we play pool. And all that time was a time for me as a very young Christian to receive guidance and direction from someone who was a seasoned veteran. I still remember so many stories about R.C., and I don't want to spend all show talking about them, but I do want to lend my support to his family and ministry. I hope that ministry and that legacy continues on for many, many years to come. I remember being at CBA, Christian Booksellers Association, back in the late 90s. My book, Counterfeit Revival, had just come out. And I was being dressed down in public by Word of Faith leaders. And all of a sudden, this figure appeared. And I heard the voice,
like
the
Gandalf.
Gravelly voice. Yes. And all I remember from that scene is that he appeared and he said something to the effect of, well, you better be thankful for men like Hank Hanegraaff, because there isn't a dump truck large enough to haul another heresy out of this building. And as soon as he had come, he had vanished. A few years ago, he was cleared to play golf, and he called me and he said, Henry, come down to Orlando. We got to play golf. And I was absolutely amazed, because at that time, he had gone through some significant health issues. We played golf, and I did not expect him to be, well, as great at golf at that time as he still was in terms of ministry and speaking and oratory and all of these kinds of things. And he went out and he shot a 79, which, if you don't know golf, that's very, very good, especially when you have not been playing golf for a long time. He was the only person that I allowed to call me Henry, by the way. But that was his nickname for me. At any rate, R.C. went home to be with the Lord at 3 p.m., just when I was starting the podcast with Dr. Jonathan Wells. He was surrounded by Vesta and his family. He'd been in the hospital for about 12 days. He had some respiratory difficulties. It was exacerbated by the flu and then complicated by COPD. And he died peacefully. And this is a man, Larry, that knew and preached about the holiness of God. I mean, if there's a signature for R.C., it was the holiness of God. So that was his signature, but my word for R.C. is real deal, authentic.
Yes, yeah, C.S. Lewis once said that his prayer was that upon his death, all of hell would rejoice that he was out of the fight. And I'm not so hyperbolically inclined to suggest that all of hell would rejoice that R.C. is out of the fight, but there's got to be a pretty major section that it's glad that he's no longer in the fray.
But his legacy, his life, his work is going to carry on even in his absence, because his legacy is a profound legacy. He was a towering figure and so much needed in this epoch of time. We have a scene in our era, a descent into the new dark ages, and that descent has been with such vast rapidity that if we would have been talking about what realities on the ground are today, 5 years ago, we would have thought it had to be hyperbole. Couldn't be something that would actually happen. Maybe we thought it might happen, but hoped it wouldn't. But it has happened, and there are a lot of indicators in this regard.
Yeah, and the pace for those who are observing attentively, critically, I think is nothing short of dizzying. I've been reading a book recently that, as I ponder the contents of the book, and just as you were saying, think back on 5, 10 years ago, you could not have believed then that this was happening. One example is, I was just reading in a book that says, in a Christian Mingle survey, 61% of self-identified Christian singles said that they were willing to have casual sex without being in love. Only 23% said that they would have to actually be in love, and only 11% said that they are waiting to have sex until they're married. That's a pretty major indicator. The thing that is just throwing me off kilter is how far some of the radical social agendas are being pushed. For example, if you would have told me a year ago what a trans activist was, I'm not entirely sure I would have comprehended it. But this book that I'm now reading says trans activists have even protested and are now protesting the use of terms like man and woman, because some males identify as women and vice versa. The Midwives Alliance of North America changed their literature to delete the word mother and substitute pregnant individuals and birthing persons. It is now deemed transphobic. Here's a new word in my vocabulary. It is now deemed transphobic to say breastfeeding. You must say chest feeding to be inclusive of men.
Of trans men. Yeah, that's absolutely
right. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and I mean, there's so many other issues that we could talk about. Once you basically redefine humanity, as has been well said, as being sexless, you end up with a dehumanized society.
Yeah, and we talk regularly about the assaults on truth, just having referenced a couple examples and going beyond perhaps a war on truth to a war on reality. But since we talk so much about the battle for truth and life, what about some of the life issues? I just read something that tilted my head. In 2015, a British columnist, Katie Hopkins, began to call, and literally began to call, for euthanasia vans. I quote here, she said, "We have just far too many old people. It's ridiculous to be living in a country where we can put dogs to sleep, but not people." What's her proposed solution? And again, I quote, easy. Euthanasia vans. Just like ice cream vans that would come to your home. I mean this genuinely. I'm super keen on euthanasia vans. Well, the author of this paper says, yes, I'm sure she is, at least until one comes for her. To show that this is not just mere conjecture, a Dutch Right to Die organization today offers a mobile euthanasia service with teams traveling around the country to deliver lethal drugs or injections to patients whose own doctors have ethical objections to helping them die. Critics have dubbed them mobile death squads. 5 years ago, most people could not have imagined that this would happen, and it is. My concern is that there are many Americans who could say, well, yes, that can happen there, but that can't happen here. And I'm saying, help thou my unbelief. History teaches otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I remember many years ago when the euthanasia problem started rearing its ugly head in Holland. Obviously, I was born in Holland, and all of my parents' siblings still live in Holland and their progeny. And euthanasia has played a role in our family in Holland. So this is something that is not just a statistic or a detail for me. This is a personal reality, something that has been exacted, as it were, on members of my extended family in the Netherlands, in Holland. And I think one of the things we want to talk about on the show today, there's much more that we can say with respect to the details of what's going on in our culture. But I think what we need to talk about as well, Larry, is the fact that there has to be a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And we have been on the forefront of a ministry through the Christian Research Journal, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through our outreaches around the world, to making people not only aware of the issues, the problems that we face from a societal standpoint, from individual perspectives, but we have been on the vanguard of making a difference, not just sounding the alarm, but doing something.
Yeah, we speak frequently to the mandate to both think and live Christianly. As vitally important as thinking Christianly is, today that is not enough. There is orthodoxy and there is orthopraxis. We have to get beyond, as foundational as it is, right thinking and engage in right behavior. And my vantage point today is recognizing that the Christian flock is being encircled by more and more wolves, more and more intent on taking down not just truth, but as we've been saying, even reality. If you're not awake, if you're not standing, if you're not speaking against this madness, I have doubts as to whether, in fact, in today's weird world, you are indeed practicing orthopraxis.
Yeah, we got to get involved. We need not only to be apprised of the facts, we need not only intelligent conversations, but we need to be empowered by the power of Christ, a power that is in us but not of us. We're going to be talking about some of the issues and what we can do about it on the other side of the break. You don't want to miss this conversation with Dr. Larry Johnston. He is the Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. We will be right back.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Thank you.
would your life be different today without the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, or CRI's website, books, and other resources? If CRI has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of these blessings into your life and many more in the new year. Give a special tax-deductible gift by December 31st. Because we're entirely listener-supported, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff, with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy, and talking in the first segment of this broadcast today about R.C. Sproul going home to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, so just a few hours ago, maybe 3 hours ago. And it reminds me that while R.C. has left and he was a towering figure, the battle continues to go on. As you were saying before the break, Larry, and I'm talking to Larry Johnston, he is the Chief Advancement Officer for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're talking about the number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock, the fact that this number is growing, and the attacks are becoming more daring. I wrote a book on Islam called Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. So you have militant Islam on the one hand, you have militant secularism on the other. You have hard persecution that's taking place in the East and in the West, soft persecution, but persecution nonetheless. And you have pointed out that there's only going to be a couple of kinds of Christians in the very near future. Those who rose to stand against the rising tide of insanity, and those that, well, when the tide starts to submerge them, wish they had stood while there still is an opportunity to stand.
Yes, I have respect for those people who are genuinely pacifists when it comes time for real war, but I have zero regard for intellectual pacifism when there is a mounting assault on truth. It has been said reliably that heresy advances only as orthodoxy retreats. And today, merely embracing orthodoxy is not enough. That is foundational, but until we wake up, stand up and speak up and say, as they say in Spanish, basta ya, enough already. No more. This must end.
And you know, this is not just about militant secularism. You have so many ministers who are drinking at Darwin's universal acid spout. And as a result of this, religion is declining in America. And certainly Christianity is declining in America. The statistics are alarming. You have Eugenie Scott, director of the National Center for Science Education, saying that I have found that the most effective allies for scientific materialism are people of the faith community. One clergyman with a backward collar is worth two biologists at a school board meeting. And Jonathan Wells pointed out in the podcast I did with him today that there's a bully tactic going on here. That bully tactic is to convince Christians that they are not entitled to say anything about objective reality, because Christianity has to do with faith and feelings, and science has to do with hard facts.
Yeah, I think this revisits the notion of a war on reality. We've talked about militant atheists, we've talked about militant Islamists, we've talked about militant secularists. I think perhaps arguably the most dangerous are the militant materialists, those who have been so encapsulated by Darwinian dogma that many of them continue to parrot those notions, even when many of those notions simply cannot stand. For example, you know that for many years I've been a reasonably diligent student of consciousness, of philosophy of the mind, of the philosophy and physiology and the psychology even of perception. There is no one, and I mean no one, who has even the foggiest idea of how matter could be conscious. And yet, even the clergy, as you have said, have been so bullied by this dominant scientism, this militant materialism, they have chugged the Kool-Aid and they're now spewing it out to people who, like lemmings, are following a lie.
And you think about the Clergy Letter Project. A lot of people don't know about it, but more and more people do. It's the solicitation of signatures to a letter stating that we, the undersigned Christian clergy, believe that the theory of evolution, and here we're talking about macroevolution, is a foundational scientific truth, one that has stood up to rigorous scrutiny. On top of that, you have Evolution Sunday. It's celebrated each year on the Sunday closest to Darwin's birthday, February 12th. And this is a Sunday in which clergy are encouraged to immerse their congregations in materialism. And then you have Evolution Weekend on top of all of that, because it's not enough to get the Christian congregations involved, but you also have to have the Jewish congregations involved. And when we're talking about this, we're not talking about speculation of what might happen, but we're talking about what, in fact, is happening. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they passed a resolution endorsing the Clergy Letter Project. And last year, the General Assembly, just last year, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church, USA, voted to endorse this clergy letter. So this is something that is gaining a tremendous amount of traction, but at the bottom of this well are all kinds of students who have lost their faith, grew up in Christian homes, grew up in churches, grew up with Bibles, and in a very short period of time have jettisoned the faith, no longer relevant, because they simply have not been equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. My own children have been saved from that hell because they grew up in a home and in a context where they were allowed to answer, ask questions, and find out that there are satisfactory answers. And at the base of it, that is a critical mission, a mission that we are absorbed in, we're committed to, and will stand for no matter what the cost.
Yeah, some have said, and I think it's unfortunately true, that a great many of the younger generation that go off to college and reportedly lose their faith never really had the true faith. They had pizza parties and Coke and fun and fellowship, but zero depth in any intellectual notion of what their faith encompassed. And today, dealing with the militancy that we're dealing with in materialism and scientism, you send off these, God bless them, well-intentioned, sloppy agape kids into a university environment where they're facing PhDs in philosophy who have drunk deeply from the well of materialism. You're sending children with rubber knives into a gunfight with the intelligentsia, and we have to say that ain't fair. It's time, like your kids, to be equipped.
And we're going to be talking about this in the next segment as well. What I really want to get to and underscore is a thank you to those who have stood shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and that for over 30 years that I've been here, and many years before that, people that really care about what we're talking about and recognize that we can't simply capitulate. We need to stand, and after we've done everything, to stand, as Ephesians chapter 6 points out. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare. But what I'm always reminded of, Larry, is that when I looked at Scripture carefully, it's not a defeatist proposition. Even when you talk about spiritual warfare, in terms of a paradigm, begins with the power of God to prevail as opposed to the power of Satan to pillage. And so we can't be defeatist. We can't say the tide is coming in so quickly, the waves are so ferocious, we have no chance in this battle. No, we can make a difference. We can't make a difference about what happened in yesterday's generation or in future generations, perhaps, but we can make a difference today. And so we have to thank those people that have made this ministry a ministry that has made a substantive difference. And that's not simple hyperbole. It is borne out statistically. It's borne out in the letters of people that testify to the reality of a great difference that this ministry is making.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to note, it is not simply the difference that CRI is making with the resources entrusted to us by good Christian stewards. That's a limited frame of reference. The truth be told, it's not the difference that we here are making with their support, but the difference that they are making through the ministry of CRI. That is what's key to grasp. This is a partnership. I've used the very basic metaphor of the engine that has been built here at CRI over the last 55 years or so will not run without fuel. We have Christians who, in their resources, they have the fuel. Fuel without a vehicle will get you nowhere. Our vehicle without fuel will get us nowhere. But when we come together in partnership and combine this vehicle with that fuel, that is when the world changes.
You can't be saying anything better than that, and that's what we're asking people that haven't yet done so to consider standing with us as we approach the end of the year, shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And, you know, RC has gone on to be home, his legacy in terms of what he can actually physically do himself by giving, by teaching. Well, he has run the race well. He's home with the Lord, but we're still running the race. And if you have some of the Lord's resources that you invest in this ministry, please consider doing that before year end. You'll be touching the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We're going to be right back with a quote of the day, Winston Churchill. You don't want to miss it. And more with Larry Johnston.
Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support CRI, you help strengthen many who are in need of guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Thank you. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day, Winston Churchill, needs no reference point. Everybody will know who I'm talking about when I say the words, Winston Churchill, who once said this, and I quote, "If you will not fight for the right, when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not so costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance for survival. There may be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope for victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Again, the quote of the day, Winston Churchill. And you think about Winston Churchill, you might think about R.C. Sproul, actually, in the same sentence. These two men were towering intellects and significant leaders in different fields. And as you've said to me before, Larry, really good leaders create followers. But really great leaders create leaders. And I think R.C. did that. Certainly Winston Churchill did that.
Well, he certainly did. And the problem is that for those who are leaders, you can be very much aware of those who, following in your footsteps, have achieved varying degrees of visibility. But one of my favorite metaphors is the one that says you can always count the number of seeds in an apple. You can never count the number of apples in a seed. And when leaders like R.C. have been casting their seed and speaking into the hearts and minds of people like you, like me, like tens of thousands, if in fact not millions of others, certainly he can see those who have risen to levels of visible leadership. But what cannot be seen is all of the powerful change in the lives of thousands of people, much less visible, the number of apples that were contained in the seeds.
Yeah, and I think also, Larry, about the people that make all of this possible. R.C. spoke about this often. He obviously had a very significant ministry. I remember back in the years when Dora Hillman, when she was alive, she supported some of the projects I was involved in, but certainly lent a tremendous amount of support to Ligonier. And that support bore abundant, abiding fruit. Many, many years ago, Dora went home to be with the Lord, but her legacy continues to live on in the life of Ligonier. It also continues to live on through my life in ministry. So there were people who really made a big difference. And I want to kind of transition here into those people who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Obviously, we have a lot of constituents. We have a great deal to say about the different categories of givers. And I think that we can say thank you to all of them, but we can also encourage them to move from one category to another.
As I think through our different types of ministry partners, probably at the apex of the impact pyramid are those that we call legacy partners. Now, we don't talk a lot about legacy partners, but legacy partners are those people who, in addition to their giving regularly, have also remembered CRI in their wills and their estate plans. I was just thinking moments ago about the classic story of John D. Rockefeller. At the time, I believe he was the wealthiest man in the United States. Upon his death, at one of the big newspaper houses, a cub reporter, on hearing the news, burst into the office of his boss, and he said, "Boss, I hear that John D. just died." He said, "How much did the old man leave?" And the response was, "Everything." The point is, we have been entrusted on this planet with resources, and we are called to be stewards of those resources, and a part of that stewardship is the God-given resources being applied to achieving God-given ends. And again, I tend to think not merely in terms of the hierarchies of giving, but even more fundamentally, the hierarchies of impact. And our legacy partners, those people who have made provision for substantial resources to be given to CRI to continue the fight even when they are no longer in it, those people are extraordinary.
Absolutely. And we oftentimes talk about our support team members from the standpoint of being so foundational to everything that we do. And we want to invite people to step up and become support team members. And when I mean step up, what I mean there is that we have periodic donors who can become regular support team members, whether they do it on a monthly basis, which is always nice, or whether they do it in lump sums, that's up to the individual. But they can step up from being a periodic giver to becoming a monthly support team member.
To shift metaphors, if the legacy partners are the apex of the pyramid, support team members are the backbone of the organization. I mean, it is no hyperbole, it is no exaggeration to say that without our support team members, people would not be hearing these words right now. They wouldn't be reading the journal. They wouldn't have free access to the equip.org website, where there are riches galore of materials that can be used in the battle for life and truth. So support team members, thank you. We quite literally would not be here without your role in the organization.
And if you want to know how you can transition from being a periodic donor to a support team member, check it out on the web at equip.org. When you join CRI's support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. Something that I think you ought to elaborate on as well, Larry, is that difference that a one-time or a one-per-year donation person can make if they would step up to give instead of one donation per year, two or three or more donations per year.
Yes, to those who are listening who have only once in their entire history with CRI, and whether that has been 3 months or 3 years or 30 years, for those of you who have made one gift, or perhaps you're just in a pattern of making one gift per year, thank you. You're making a difference. You've gotten out of the bleachers and onto the playing field. We feel the impact of your giving. But here's a thought. Slightly over 50%, slightly over one half of all of CRI's donors make one gift per year. And if those donors would simply become second steppers, if they would just take the next step and make a second gift, that would translate into hundreds of thousands of dollars of resources to enable us to press the attack in the fight for life and truth.
I want to talk about one more category, but before I do, a reminder of what the Apostle Paul said to the Macedonian Christians when he said, just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The last category are those who have never given. Maybe it's an oversight on their part. I talked to one man who said, I didn't think the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute needed any money. Everything you do is so professional, I thought there must be some great foundation behind what you do, but that's not the case. And so for those who have never given, well, excel in the grace of giving as well.
Yes, and my question to those, and again, you may have been partaking of the resources of CRI, listening to the Bible Answer Man program, watching the Hang Unplugged podcast. If you have been waiting to give, my question to you would be, why? What are you waiting for? It has been said by Edmund Burke, the great Irish statesman, that no one ever made a greater mistake than he who did nothing, because he could only do a little. If you can only do a little, do it. A little matters. All gifts, especially during this critical month of the year, that helps determine not only how we close the year, but the strength with which we move into the new year is determined not only by large gifts, and certainly we encourage those capable of making large gifts to do so, but little gifts matter as well.
And you imagine, as we're talking now, that there are some people that have been richly blessed with huge amounts of money, particularly with the run-up in the stock market. This would be a great time to invest those resources in a ministry that will continue making a difference for time and for eternity. And as you just pointed out, those who have never given and think that what little can I do and what little that I can do, what little difference will that really make? Well, all of that combined with the giving of other people will not make a little difference. It will make a huge difference and a great encouragement as well, because everyone that gives, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, becomes, as it were, a partner with us in a ministry that again is transformational. And so we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. You can also write me, send in your gift via snail mail. Do it soon, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or we'll just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be right back here in studio tomorrow with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.